This is Express FM.
Supported by the University of Portsmouth.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has sort of a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
There was little to be thrilled about at the weekend as Pompey drew a blank in a goalless encounter with Blackpool.
Portsmouth have been held to a 0-0 draw here by Blackpool at Bloomfield Road.
But it's still the Blues who tower above the Tangerines and have the pleasure of being top of the league. John Massinio will be on to talk about the match, which compared to others coming up, wasn't the big one, but a game he nonetheless felt disappointed not to win.
We obviously wanted to come here and win the game regardless of whether we're playing against 10 or 11 men. And, you know, I think with the context of the fact we played against 10 men for the best part of sort of 50, 55 minutes and created plenty of chances as well, we were a bit gutted that we didn't win it.
And from Pompey's men to Pompey's women, another huge league win on Sunday. We'll this evening hear from their head coach, Jay Sadler.
We just got to enjoy these moments as they come along, because this group have just been phenomenal, relentless, week on week, 14 league wins on the bounce. We just keep going.
So debriefs from both Portsmouth games from the weekend to come between now and 7, as well as a look ahead to the next. The men host Burton Albion at PO4 tomorrow in a fixture that has been dedicated to the Her Game 2 campaign. Club ambassador Vicky Lamb will be on the show to talk about the growth of Her Game 2 and why its presence is so important.
As of today, we're currently partnered with 74 out of the 92, and by having these clubs partnered, we can work together to make each club inclusive and a safe space for people to enjoy sports.
And as we preview that game at Fratton, we'll also hear the pre-match thoughts of Christian Sadie, who looks ahead to the Blues' final 9 games of the season.
I think we just got to do what we can to win and hopefully just keep ticking them off. And if we stick together as we've been doing throughout the season, I think we stand a good chance.
Don't hesitate to get involved from back home too, Pompey fans. Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Email pompey at expressfm.com. Include at expressfm on X, facebook.com/pompey. Pompey Live, or reach us through the Express FM app. We want to hear from you this evening here on Portsmouth's Express FM, where you're listening to the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Welcome along to you all to this latest episode of the Football Hour, with you every Monday and Friday evening between 6 and 7 to provide the latest Pompey news, reviews and guest insight too. On the way tonight, we'll bring you full reaction to Saturday's goalless draw for Pompey's men at Bloomfield Road, the lowdown on yesterday's National League Southern Premier Division encounter between Portsmouth women and Ipswich Town at Wesley Park, as well as a preview of tomorrow evening's visit of Burton Albion to Fratton Park. As well as the thoughts of our two guests who we'll introduce shortly, we'll also be hearing from John Massinio, Jay Sadler, Nicole Barrett, Vicky Lamb and Christian Sadie. So that is all to come between now and 7. But we begin the show with a revisit of Saturday's action on the Lancashire coast. John Massinio made one change to the side that started in the Blues' 2-1 win over Oxford United a week prior, with Jack Sparks replacing Conor Ogilvy in defence. Zach Swanson returned to the bench after a lengthy spell on the sidelines. We'll hear more on that injury to Conor Ogilvy in a few moments. But first, in the commentary position at Bloomfield Road, was former Blues forward and manager Guy Whittingham alongside Andy Moon.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
And now we're ready to get this one underway. Ekpeteta has got the ball at the back. A survivor of the last victory for Blackpool here in the COVID season. So that's worked well for Blackpool. And it's going to be picked up by Beasley in the area. Beasley with a chance. The covering challenge from Rafferty is excellent and behind for a corner, 0-0. Here's Dembele driving forward for Blackpool, looking into the penalty area. A chance, getting there first is Rhodes across the face of Dolan, wide. The kind of chance Rhodes has made a career of putting away, and he misses, 0-0. Raggett and Rhodes battling, and the ref decides it's a match where there was no winner, and then Rafferty goes to the ground, again battling Rhodes, and there's a free kick this time for Pompey, 0-0.
Two rollovers from Rafferty.
To be fair, they were both six of one, half dozen of the other, those clashes.
Rhodes is off.
And it's a red card for Rhodes. Oh, here's Lane trying to get away from his man. Oh, it's a good challenge, but it'll fall for Kamara. Kamara hits it off the post. And Blackpool survive. Corner.
Yeah, it was a save from the goalkeeper, I think.
And that is the half-time whistle here at Bloomfield Road. And we will go into the break, not level in terms of men on the pitch, but level on the score sheet at 0-0 Guy Whittingham. As Sadie drives forward. This is a good run from Christian Sadie. What an excellent run from Sadie. Still going into the box. Kamara picks it up. Chipped in field. Sadie, can he get the shot away? He'll still try. It's blocked and cleared away. I thought he was going all the way there, Sadie. Spark steps up over the wall and clawed away by the goalkeeper. Rafferty. Looking forward for Bishop. It's a tricky one to control. Oh, Yenge's got it for Pompey. Yenge into the area. Yenge, he's hit the post.
Good
it's
save.
Another great save.
Another
corner.
Another good save, yeah. Another good save, but there you go.
Here's Raggett trying to bring the ball forward over halfway for Pompey. Looking to try and thread it to Kamara, and he finds Kamara. And Kamara can break into the Blackpool box. And he cuts back on his left, then to his right. It's crossed into the area, and the ball is hit the post.
The post again.
And it's cleared away. So close. Corner to the far post. It's hit the bar or punched away. Kamara back in the danger area. Blackpool get ahead to it. Kamara back to the danger area. Blackpool are going to scramble that away. We've played the 7 minutes. If Moxon can bring it down, it's got to go straight back into the box. They go back, Pompey, and there's no time for the delivery to come. And Portsmouth have been held to a 0-0 draw here by Blackpool at Bloomfield Road. 2 points drop for Pompey. It's finished at Bloomfield Road. Blackpool 0, Portsmouth 0.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
The highlights there from Saturday's goalless draw between Pompey and Blackpool. Blackpool, done on Andy Moon, then Blackpool at Bloomfield Road. Right, let's take a look at the other results from League One, then 12 fixtures in the division at the weekend. And we'll start off with those that do, of course, concern Pompey. Barnsley defeated 5-1 on home soil by Lincoln City. Derby County winning 3-0 away at Bristol Rovers, and Bolton Wanderers behind Exeter but salvaging a 2-2 draw at St James's Park. So the three sides just below Pompey chasing the automatic promotion spots. One win, one draw and one defeat. Barnsley defeated Derby County with a victory, and Bolton with just a point away at Exeter City. Peterborough United on a good run of form. Pompey, of course, go there this Saturday. They were 3-1 victors away at tomorrow's opponents, Burton Albion. So potentially we should be including the Posh back into the automatic promotion frame. Elsewhere, Cambridge United 1, Northampton Town 1, Charlton 3, Carlisle United 2, Oxford 2, Cheltenham Town 1, Port Vale 1, Shrewsbury 2, Reading 1, Wickham Wanderers 2, Stevenage 0, Fleetwood 0 and Wigan Athletic 1, Leighton Orient 0. So let's take a look at the League One standings. We'll start at the bottom where Carlisle United are in 24th position, still only on 23 points. They are 9 points behind 23rd position Port Vale, and that's only 23rd position Port Vale. Carlisle are 16 points adrift of safety, having played the same amount of games as Burton Albion and Cambridge United, who both have 39 points on the board. Port Vale, Fleetwood and Cheltenham are alongside the Cumbrians in the drop zone as things stand. Up the top then, Pompey do of course remain top of League One. They're on 77 points, now 10 unbeaten. 7 wins and 3 draws within that time frame. Derby County, the nearest challengers as things stand, on 72 points. They're back-to-back wins after back-to-back defeats. They're now on 72 points, 5 points behind Pompey with the same amount of games played. Bolton are third with 71 points after 2 consecutive draws. And Peterborough United, we mentioned they're on a good run of form, 4 wins in a row, now up to 4th position on 68 points. Both them and Barnsley, who have 67 points, have a game in hand on Pompey, Derby and Bolton Wanderers. So getting very, very tight at the top of League One. And it really seems to be a battle between that top five for the automatic promotion spots. And then we have Stevenage in sixth, bidding to get into that final playoff position. Oxford United are just outside, a point behind Stevenage on 60. Blackpool, yes, Saturday's opponents are in eighth position on 57 points. Right, let's welcome in our two guests for this evening's conversation. And I'm delighted to say joining us over the phone lines this evening is Joe Wood from the 1898 blog. Joe, a very good evening to yourself.
Evening, Jake. Lovely to be on.
Great to have you back on, Joe. Shame it's not under better circumstance, of course, a 0-0 draw on Saturday. But, Joe, if that point was handed to you at the start of the game, would it have been one you'd taken or not?
Absolutely. It was a conversation I had with my co-founder, Barry Clements. We've both said a point away at Blackpool is not a disaster. I think it's very easy to get revisionist about everything when you look at what happened during the game and say, oh, well, we were against 10 men. But, you know, when that happened, Blackpool sat deep. So other teams have been dropping points as well. You can't win every game. It's not something that's possible in this division at the moment. So to take a point from a side who, let's be honest, gave us an absolute tuning earlier in the season, I don't see it as a bad point to take.
No. And alongside myself and Joe from the 4-0 written all over at Channel, he does a lot more than that as well, of course, but Andrew Barnard, who we know, of course, as Barney. Good evening.
Good evening, mate. Thanks again for having me.
No problem at all. Barney, we mentioned there, you know, not necessarily a bad point away at Blackpool. They do have the second best home record in this division, behind only Pompey, of course, at the top of the table, both home and away. But I guess it is the manner, being down to 10 men Blackpool for, well, all of the second half and for a few minutes towards the end of that first half as well. Is it a game you think Pompey didn't quite capitalise on the chance they had?
For sure, a little bit, especially as you say, going down to 10 men or Blackpool going down to 10 men, you'd think, right, this is a huge opportunity. As soon as they get that red card, we're celebrating it almost like a goal in the away end. I know we're top, and I know we've been top most of the season now, but to put a positive spin on it, it's nice to be able to say things like, we were held away from home, irrelevant whether they had 11 or 10 men on the field. Because as you said, they've got pretty much near enough joint best record in the league at home. They've already turned us over heavily once this season. I don't think 0-0 is much to worry about. Considering, of course, if they're going down to 10 at home, they're going to sit behind the ball as they did in the second half. Yeah. They didn't have much to throw at us because they'd had one of their main attackers sent off. I think most fans would have said they would have taken a point if they're being realistic going into the game.
Yeah, and sometimes Barney actually playing against 10 men can be a little bit more difficult than playing against 11 men because, as you mentioned there, they sit more players behind the ball, they see out the point.
They certainly went in with aggression as well.
Yeah.
I know the red card has been sort of questioned whether it was or wasn't. For me, I don't think it is.
No.
But I think the two other challenges that have caused the injuries to Lang and Sparks, you could argue they're more red cards than the red card itself. They're both from behind. You could both say they've almost got a scissor action, which, you know, some refs could easily give a red card for that.
Yeah.
I think the Lang one is somewhat worse. It looks stronger. But then the Sparks one, it's going out of play. It's unnecessary.
Play.
Yeah. He's only done it to wind the crowd up and get them behind them, which... yeah, it's not for me that. I don't think it's in with a sporting nature.
And that Jordan Rhodes red card, as Barney's alluded to there, Joe, he maybe does lead in with his arm a bit, but it is one of those decisions. You know, we can sit here with our blue tinted glasses on, but also admit that if that's a Pompey player being sent off of that, you feel a little bit hard done by. It's not a clear cut red card, if anything, is it?
It's absolutely baffling, to be perfectly honest. That whole game summed up the state of refereeing in this league as a whole and how it's been all season. Cards have been almost given out at random. You've got no idea what a free kick is from one week to the next. You've got no idea what a yellow card is anymore. You know, it must be so frustrating playing under those conditions. We just don't know what the rules are anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen, you think about the red cards we've seen given in Pompey games. The one that instantly springs to mind is Tom McIntyre's red card. How's that red card? And then we get this Jordan Rhodes, and I'm going to say it, and I feel for Blackpool fans on this one, it's a phantom red card. I don't think anyone in that ground knew what it's supposed to have done.
Yeah.
I think the argument was that, oh, he led with his elbow. I think, you know, after 15 times of viewing it, I still couldn't see this elbow that they were talking about.
We at first in the away and thought it might have been descent or something. Obviously don't hear that, but we kind of agree with you. There wasn't really much in it to warrant a straight red, maybe a yellow, I don't know. But you know, maybe even think back to the Ben Thompson red card. Do you remember at Fratton Park against Charlton a few years ago, right on the touchline, that got, I think it got overturned, and you can probably imagine this Jordan Rhodes one would as well. You mentioned the Tom McIntyre one too. Absolutely crazy. Joe, I do want to ask you quickly before we hear from John Messina, Connor Ogilvie, a player who in recent weeks has come back from his injury. He's set the world alight. He's been that player we all have known and loved. And a recent stat we've seen surface on social media is that Pompey haven't lost a game with Connor Ogilvie in the side for 361 days. Well, that's now surpassed the year mark because he missed out on Saturday's game at Blackpool. And you could really tell that he was a miss, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. it's really hard to put a finger on why things are so different when he's there and when he's not. But yeah, it did feel very different. 4 to 6 weeks is what I've seen reported. That's a significant amount of time. That's the sort of time where we're going to have to figure out some sort of ready replacement and then a plan B on top of it, because you can't ask Jack Sparks to just, well, it'll be all right, we'll just run him out for the next 8-9 games or whatever that's going to count for, especially if he's on the receiving end of tackles like he was on Saturday. It is a concern. Like I say, I don't know. It's someone smarter than I will point out what it is that he does that's transformative to this side. But it's something. Obviously, it's been a year now. So, yeah.
Jack Sparks, the obvious replacement for the immediate future. Of course, Barney needs filled in that position for a large part of this season already. We saw Zach Swanson return to the bench on Saturday, didn't quite come on. But we also know that Joe Rafferty has been switched to left back and can adopt that role if absolutely necessary. So Pompey have got, I guess, the capabilities within the squad to rotate a little bit if necessary.
Yeah, you could almost see us going into a formation change as well, like we did in the last sort of 10-15, once we brought Yenge on for Sparks, if I remember rightly, once Sparks got injured. Yeah. So you could see perhaps a back three of Rafferty, Shognessy and Raggett, which I've got nothing against, and then using sort of Kamara and Lane out wide, or whoever else replaces Lane if he does go on international duty. I don't see a problem with that. You can, of course, make that more attacking, as he did on Saturday, you know, more of a three than a five at the back.
Right, let's hear now from John Massino himself and exactly where Joe heard that 4 to 6 week time frame. Andy Moon caught up with him on the touchline after Saturday's 0-0 draw with Blackpool, first asking for his verdict on the game.
John, what's your verdict on that point?
I think we're disappointed with the point. We obviously wanted to come here and win the game regardless of whether we're playing against 10 or 11 men. And, you know, I think with the context of the fact we played against the 10 men for the best part of sort of 50, 55 minutes and created plenty of chances as well, we were a bit gutted that we didn't win it. So a lot of pleasing parts of the performance, to be honest. I thought it was a pretty good game of football. Blackpool have got the best home record in the league. They beat Bolton here 4-1 a couple of weeks ago. So I think when you take all of that into account, we can we can be happy with the fact that we came and performed well. Just overall, I think we could have won the game, and slightly disappointed coming away with just a point.
Would you have wanted more chances made in the second half?
I actually thought, considering the fact that when you do go down to 10 men, like Blackpool did, they sit in and they've got a good record anyway, and they defend really well. I thought we created plenty, and we were patient at times, and we had to be. You can't always just go crash, bang, wallop and try and get the ball in the box. Created some really good openings. A bit frustrated we didn't get the ball out to Abs quicker a couple of times. To be honest, it was probably a bit more frustrating in the first half. I understood the fans' couple of moans and groans when we didn't go forward or we didn't cross the ball, and I actually got that, because it was a couple of the clips you showed at half-time where we turned down opportunities to cross the ball and we turned down opportunities to take wing-backs or centre-halves on. So I was probably slightly more frustrated about the first half. To be honest, second half, when you play against 10 men, when you play against a good side and you create as many opportunities as we did, and their goalkeeper comes away as man of the match, I don't think I can complain too much.
What was your view on the red card?
I thought it was harsh. I think Jordan Rhodes leads with his arm. I guess we'd probably be aggrieved if that was given against us. We didn't, we thought it was a poor challenge, whether it's a red or not. I thought the challenge on Callum Lang from Norman is far worse. I think that's a straight red. There's no chance he's winning the ball, and he goes to hurt him. I think he went to hurt Miles Harris in the first half as well. And that was the worst challenge, I think, of the two. So probably count yourself a bit unlucky.
We haven't seen Yenge, Sadie and Bishop as a three on at all this season. That might be the first time.
First game of the season we did. It was a good opportunity to do it. It's the hardest thing, I think, when we feel that our shape is what we want it to achieve in the game, and that's tough. We didn't want to bring Colby off, and this is what happens a lot of weeks. We don't want to bring Colby off, so how can we get the three of them on the pitch at the same time? We did change shape eventually, because I didn't think it actually made a difference to the flow of the game, and it very nearly paid off. I thought Sadie was a real live wire, caused him a huge amount of problems. Cass obviously hit the post and took his chance very, very well, but I think it came off the goalkeeper as well. And one of those afternoons where the thing things just didn't quite drop for us.
How is Callum Lang?
He's not great, and honestly, I thought it was a really poor challenge. He's hurt his ankle, he's turned it. It's far too early to see what the actual prognosis is, but you know, it's another one this season from a very, very poor challenge where we've ended up with an injury.
Well, Conor Ogilvie, what's the situation with him?
Yeah, so unfortunately, there was an incident about the 50th minute of the Oxford game, and if anyone was there might remember, just twisted awkwardly in the box. He didn't end up getting treatment. We thought he'd be fine because he ended up playing the last 45, 50 minutes. We initially feared it might be something worse. It's not, which is good news, but it's going to be about 3 to 4 weeks for Conor. Not the greatest news in the world, but not the worst when you twist your knee in the box with no one else around you. We've seen what's happened time and time again with players this season. So great that we have Jack to come and deputise. But yeah, another blow for Conor, who's been so unlucky with injuries this year.
Was Sparks tactical rather than... Did he pick up a knock before he went off?
No, he picked up a knock. You guys wouldn't have seen it from your side, but I don't think it was a poor challenge from Gabriel, but he maybe caught him on the follow-through, so his ankle was just gushing with blood. I think it's just a contact one, and hopefully he's OK for Tuesday.
Yeah, John Massino there speaking to Andy Moon on the touchline after Saturday's goalless draw with Blackpool at Bloomfield Road. We're going to hear more from John Massino on Pompey Live and the build-up to tomorrow's game between 7 and 7.45. He's been speaking to George Wedlake today. We don't quite have time to hear from him on the show this evening, but we will hear later from Christian Sadie. But I can reveal that John Massino is speaking to the press at the press conference earlier today. Did speak about, obviously, Conor Ogilvie, as Joe alluded to before that interview. 4 to 6 weeks is the approximate time frame for him with a knee injury. Jack Sparks is OK. He's ready for tomorrow. Callum Lang is 50-50, so could feature tomorrow. Could not. Hopefully he will be back indeed for the trip to Peterborough on Saturday. We'll talk about all of that and get more of a reaction to Saturday's goalless draw at Blackpool when we do come back. We'll also hear from Pompey Women's boss Jay Sadler after yesterday's league win over Ipswich Town at Wesley Park. With just a handful of games to play, the boss is getting a little bit excited.
5 cup finals, we've said that, we just knock them down as they come, but it is that old cliche of kind of like, I don't feel like there's pressure on the group at all, because we're enjoying the moment, we're where we are right now, and we're just knocking them down 1v1. If anything, the pressure is now on Hashtag and on Rugby and on Ipswich to try and keep up with us.
We'll hear that interview with Jay Sadler, the thoughts of Nicole Barrett, and also get more reaction to that goalless draw on Saturday, as well as more from Joe and Barney as well. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back before you know it, here on the Football Hour.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Good evening, welcome back to the Football Hour. You join myself, Jake Smith, Joe Wood and Andrew Barnard for part two of tonight's instalment of the show, on which we are providing reaction and analysis to the weekend's draw at Bloomfield Road for Pompey's men, as well as a little later on a review of yesterday's action for the women's side and a look ahead to the visit of Burton Albion to Fratton Park tomorrow night. If you've missed any of tonight's shows so far, don't worry, you can download and stream this and any other previous edition from down the years from for a whole host of channels. Visit the Express FM app, our website expressfm.com/podcast, or find the episodes on the Apple and Google podcast apps as well as Spotify too. This evening's episode will be up around about 15 to 20 minutes after we go off air at 7. Well, let's bring our guest back in now then, and Joe, we were speaking before the break, we heard from John Massino following the 0-0 draw with Blackpool at the weekend, and just want to highlight a comment he actually made after the Charlton game just a couple of weeks ago, Joe, was that it's only a good point if you can back it up with a win in your next game. And I guess that really kind of logic can be applied this weekend too.
Yeah, has to be applied. You look at where Burton are on the table, you look at the turmoil they've had over the season, sacking the manager just before Christmas, and then, I'll be honest, not really doing much better. But, I mean, it was a low bar. Pompey need to be taking 3 points from tomorrow night. If they don't, we're very quick to go, oh, it's a disaster, oh, we're failing. But you would start to be getting concerned.
Yeah.
I think you've got to put a team like Burton to the sword if you have intentions of winning the league. You know, because let's be perfectly frank, if we don't win tomorrow night, the amount of pressure going into Saturday is massive.
Mm.
And you don't want that. Particularly with Peterborough, who are a side that, let's be honest, we've struggled with in recent years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Burton on a Tuesday evening, what? Name a more iconic duo.
Always on a Tuesday night, Burton at home and Burton away. Barnley back to Saturday then, before we do kind of round things up and move on a little bit. Not by any stretch of imagination a poor performance from Pompey, though maybe elements of it, Miles Pitt-Harris coming into centre mid, maybe some arguing that he's more of an out-and-out central attacking midfielder, and maybe Pompey could have done a little bit better with Owen Moxon in that role. Jack Sparks, of course, coming in for Conor Ogilvie. But when you do reflect on it, with the 10-minute Blackpool making it very difficult for Pompey in that second half, we hit the post once in the first half, once in the second half, and in the final 5-10 minutes of the game, it was just a bombardment of Pompey attacks, which unfortunately didn't go in. Was it a poor performance, or was it just an off day in front of goal?
I think just the off day in front of goal. I think if the only performances you'd pick out and just say they could be better, you've kind of hit already there. Pitt-Harris, just a little bit too almost nonchalant with the ball. He actually did the role of the defensive side pretty well, mopped up a few situations, even made up for his own mistakes once or twice. But the way he tries to pass the ball on is just a little bit flippant, almost like he's trying to be a bit fancy with it, sort of outside of the boot passes that end up don't have the legs on them to get there. You hear the groan from the crowd when that happens, because it's, you know, just keep it simple, make the pass. And yeah, when Moxon came on, I think Messinho was kind of forced into that. I think Pitt Harris had such an average first half, he needed a bit of a change there, and Moxon was a solid change to bring in there. He had a much better second half. I personally would play him at the weekend. Tomorrow night, instead of him, and hope that Lang can come back and is the positive side of that 50-50.
Linda has got in touch on the email saying, very frustrating to watch on Saturday, losing 2 points and maybe another two players injured on top of losing Ogilvie as well. Our injury list could probably fill the team. Saturday may have been a different game if the referee hadn't sent their player off for Rafferty, but he could have sent their player off for Lang's tackle as well. It said a lot that their goalie was their man of the match. It will be important to get 3 points tomorrow. Our season may be decided on how we do against Bolton, Derby and Barnsley. Linda, thank you very much for getting in touch. And Dave on the emails as well. Good evening, Jake, and good evening to your guests as well. A very good point on Saturday. Lucky and unlucky in equal measure, i.e. the red card, then hitting the post a couple of times. Hopefully Jordan Rhodes gets his red card overturned and he can be available to score goals against a few of the other teams at the top. The main concern now has to be injuries again. Conor Ogilvie out again for up to a month, and who knows how many games Callum Lang might miss out. Add to the international absentees of Paddy Lane and Cassini-Yenge, we're struggling once again for that Barnsley game. Thank goodness we've signed Lee Evans, as it could turn out to be a masterstroke. Looking at the remaining 9 matches, if you'd asked me to predict our points total for the season, I would say close to 85, best case 90. 2 points per game gives us 95, but I think that's wishful thinking given those injuries. We must beat Burton. Yenge in for Bishop, Moxon in for the injured Lang, with Pitt-Harris playing in the number 10 role. Fingers crossed Sparks is fit, but if not, maybe Rafferty can play at left back and bring Zach Swanson in at right back. The options are few now. Play at Pompey, Dave on the emails. Thank you very much to Dave and Linda for getting in touch. We're going to be bringing Joe and Barney back into the conversation very shortly as we prepare for tomorrow night's visit at Burton Albion to Fratton Park. But first, a look back at yesterday's FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division meeting between Portsmouth and Ipswich Town. Table-topping Pompey went into the game with Ipswich with a strong lead at the summit and off a back of 13 consecutive league victories. We had full commentary of the game here on Express FM with Matt Drabble and Ian Chiverton.
All the unmissable action.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
And it will be the fourth place Ipswich Town to get us underway, going from my left to my right from our commentary position here at the back of the main stand at Wesley Park. Rowbottom looking in behind for Jones, who's run off the shoulder, pulled into the left-hand channel. Blue shirts gathering in the penalty area, crossed in towards those blue shirts. Humphrey towards the bottom corner, and Ella Humphrey has the opener. Well, both Freeland and Humphrey were in there. It was rolled in into the bottom right, and Ella Humphrey is taking the congratulations. It seems she got the final touch. Portsmouth hitting on the break. curled towards the back of the penalty area and rolled into the bottom right. It is Portsmouth 1, Ipswich Town 0. Jones still scrapping for it. Emma Jones from range. Oh, it's another stunner from Emma Jones. She just cannot stop scoring at the moment. A fourth in her last three games, and that might be the pick of the bunch for Jones. A left-footed effort from 25 yards, lashed into the far left corner from just right of centre. Emma Jones has produced a bit of magic again for Portsmouth. Curled in from Barrett towards the head of Freeland. It's nodded on and it's in. Barrett swung it goalwards. Freeland jumped for it, so too did Jones. But the celebrations suggest that one went all the way through. And a free kick makes it Portsmouth 3, Ipswich Town 0. And I think Freeland would be wheeling away claiming that if she had got a touch. The fact she's not suggests that Barrett has ripped it all the way in. Well, Ruby Doe collected it in the penalty area, took a step to the left of Leith Rutherford that looked to have pulled her leg back and pulled out of the challenge. But the referee has pointed to the spot. It's been a frantic last 10 minutes or so of this game. Straight run up from Horwoods, struck towards the top corner. It's an outstanding penalty. Smashed in the top left, beyond the reaches of Hannah Horton, and it is Portsmouth 3, Ipswich Town 1. Reva Casley readying herself, but that will do it for the first 45 minutes at Wesley Park. What will she come up with here? Rowbottom looking for a cross, deep towards Quirk. Quirk's header might run for Georgie Freeland, and it's into the back of the net again. A wonderfully constructed Portsmouth goal. Quirk nodding down, Freeland tucking in for her second, Portsmouth's fourth. It's Pompey 4, Ipswich 1 at Wesley Park. It's turning into a rout. Nicole Barrett, wonderful instincts to win it back for Portsmouth. McLaughlin to her right. Barrett looking for a crossing opportunity towards the back post. There's Sophie Quirk. It's an outstanding save from Hartley. Quirk denied from just 4 yards. I'm not sure how much Laura Hartley even knew about that, but she's kept it out. Hughes rolled to the middle of the penalty area, struck goal and it's in. Ipswich have another. It's Ruby Doe that scored. The Arsenal youngster tapping in from the right-hand side of the penalty area and into the bottom right after fantastic work from Summer Hughes. And that will do it at Wesley Park. It just gets better and better in blue. Portsmouth continue their title charge with an emphatic victory over Ipswich Town.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Yeah, fantastic 4-2 win for Pompey's women on Sunday afternoon, beating Ipswich Town at Wesley Park, really strengthening their position at the top of the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. Now, after 17 games played, Pompey, 14 wins in a row in the league, 16 victories overall, only one defeat in 17 games, a plus 59 goal difference. Now 48 points, 9 points clear of hashtag United in second, who do have one game in hand. Only 5 games remain for the Blues, and only a handful of matches, as I say, stand between them and Championship football next season. After the match, the Pompey Live team spoke to both Nicole Barrett and Jay Sadler. First of all, with Jay revealing what was said in his post-match huddle with the team.
I think I was disappointed with the second goal, if I'm being honest, that we've kind of allowed Ipswich back into the game that could have been dead and buried when we got to 4-1. However, I also said, and Nick will probably back up, that we just got to enjoy these moments as they come along, because this group have just been phenomenal, relentless, week on week, 14 league wins on the bounce. We just keep going and we've got to enjoy the moment. Although there's a focus about the group and there's a determination where we want to get to, you've got to enjoy the process. And we enjoyed some of our play today because some of it was fantastic.
Nicole, can you vouch for that? He wasn't lying there, was he?
No, it's absolutely true. Every game we take it as it comes and we treat it like a cup final. And that's where we're at, and we want it even more than ever now.
And I mean, Jay mentioned relentless there, but the first half you didn't seem to have it all your own way, because you know Ipswich had a lot of the ball but they weren't necessarily creating many chances. But when you got chances, you took them. Was it deliberate, kind of playing without the ball a lot in that first half?
It was tough, and obviously we faced the diversity of Reva going off, getting a sin bin, so we had to change our formation and sit in and make it work. One thing that we are good at is coming up with a plan and making it work and finding solutions, and we've done it as a team. So I guess for the last 10 minutes of the first half, that was our game plan, was to just sort of sit in and let them have the ball and just not let them through, and I think we've done very well with it. And then obviously when Reva came back on, we showed a little bit more of what we can do with the ball as well.
And it must be so pleasing as a manager manager when you're not necessarily having clear-cut chances or lots of the ball, but as soon as you get a chance, Georgie Freeland / Ella Humphreys score a goal.
Yeah, and we're ruthless with that. That's probably the biggest word we've used all season is ruthless. We're a very forward-thinking ball team that's quite direct with our play in terms of speed of play, wanting to get forwards as quickly as possible. And that first half, we've had to suffer without the ball because their rotations are really, really good. They create a back three and it's really hard to get pressure on them. And we kind of reverted back to the experience we had against Oxford when they did exactly the same. We went, go on, then you have the ball and it's down to them then to break us down. But as soon as there's a mistake, as soon as we can win the ball back, when there's spaces and there's these players, whether it be Nick, whether it be G, whether it be anyone, as soon as you give us spaces, we'll go and attack them. And today in front of goal, we were ruthless. I still think that second half, we've had moments to score, probably put the game beyond doubt. However, yeah, to score four goals against any team in this league is very, very pleasing.
And Nicole, how good is it to be on the pitch with Emma Jones when you know she is capable of something like that?
No, she's unbelievable. I know if she gets the ball, I know it's going in the back of the net, and it's definitely a player you want on your team and not against you.
I mean, do you both have a lot of conversations? Because I seem to remember a decent strike from you here not too long ago.
Me and Emma
don't
played together
her.
For years, so we've had our moments on the pitch together, but no, I definitely love playing with them.
And we've got to ask about that moment sort of before half-time. You had, the adversity, Reeva Casley getting put in the sin bin, and then the penalty. I imagine at half-time, was it a conversation of, right, more than anything, mentally, we need to make sure we're switched on and don't get caught up in that?
Yeah, and I won't comment on officials' performance today. We've had adversity and we've had to deal with it, and with players we have adaptability as well. So Lita just slotted in at centre back, created the two banks of four and the one up top, and we had to show a level of character about us. And I keep calling this group mentality monsters, and I'll continue to say it, but it's pleasing when other teams are saying it now. Joe at the end for Ipswich, yeah, go mentally, such a strong team, and when we do get a lead, this group won't let that lead slip, and we always knew it. But we had to suffer, as I said, some moments. They got the tails up when they scored the second goal. It's a poor one to concede from us, but we just keep finding ways, and with this group of players, it's a privilege, and we'll keep going all the way to the end.
And can I just ask about the rule itself for the sin bin? In favour of it?
No, it should never be. I'd be in favour of it from a little boys team who's eight, but when it's senior women's football at tier three level, I think it makes a mockery of women's football at this level. This is two top teams going head to head. We've got everything to play for, and we're trying to win a league title, and when you've got a player asking a question and then is simbin for dissent, for me, be stricter on dissent. If she says something that goes over the dissent threshold, I'd actually rather you send the player off and then they're not going to do it again. But a 10 minute simbin and then all the rulings around having the ball has to be in play, and we only play about 57 minutes of the ball in play, so the sin bin actually lasted 17 minutes, but of which 10 minutes the ball was in play. So how do we manage that? But what we have to do is accept it, and I think the players and the staff did well to accept it, and then we just have to fight, and the one thing this group can do is fight.
Let's go on to some more positive things. Your goal, the seventh for you for the season. You were shooting, right?
Yeah, it was a shot.
Yeah, completely intentional. But I mean, I guess when you're taking a free kick there, you ultimately did your job. You just put it in a dangerous area, and what happens.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's all you can do from there is put it in. I know that I've got players in the box that are going to get on the end of it, whether it goes in or they get on the end of it. A goal's a goal for us as a team, and it doesn't really matter how many I get as long as the team scores. That's all that matters to us.
We've had Ian Chiverton with us on Co-commentary, and you know what he's like with his stats, and he said, I think it's the second time or the first time in 17 games that you've conceded more than two goals. That'll be frustrating this afternoon, won't it?
Honestly, absolutely devastated. I mean, we look at the result and we're buzzing and we're having fun scoring goals.
More than one goal, sorry, I realise what I've said.
Devastated to concede. Like, we pride ourselves on getting clean sheets, and if there's things we can't control, like penalties and whatnot, then that's one thing. But to concede late on like that, like, it is definitely something we're all going to look at and see how we can stop that happening again, because it's not good enough from us and we want to be better.
Not many games to go, Jay.
No,
it's getting close.
Five cup finals, we said that, we just knock them down as they come. But it is that old cliche of kind of like, I don't feel like there's pressure on the group at all, because we're enjoying the moment, we're where we are right now, and we're just knocking them down 1v1. If anything, the pressure is now on Hashtag and on Rugby and on Ipswich to try and keep up with us, essentially. So we've got to enjoy the moment. We know it's close. Listen, we're not one of these teams that's going to not speak about the elephant in the room. There's a league title we want to win, but that's the outcome. And I think if you're so outcome driven, you can get distracted. We're process driven, so what we'll do now is we'll get back in, we'll talk about not only the goal that we've conceded, but also to the chances we've created, and we'll keep working hard because you've got a massive game at Fratton Park against Rugby in 2 weeks' time, and it'd be nice to have a weekend off. And then we go into that game where, for us as a group, it's we want to put on a performance for our fans at Fratton Park on a huge platform. That's what we want to do now.
And just to come on to that and finish on that, that is going to be huge in a couple of weeks, Nicole, to be part of that at Fratton Park.
Yeah, absolutely excited. We love playing at Fratton. It's massive for us. Like, we love playing for Portsmouth, and Fratton Park is Portsmouth, so we love every time we get an opportunity there. It's a massive occasion, and we're excited to be playing against a good team. Like, Rugby are good. It is going to be a good match. It's going to be hard. They're hard to break down, and so they are going to test us, but it's better. We play better when we play like that, so we're excited.
And off the field, playing at Fratton Park, what's the best bit? Food, changing rooms?
Just the whole experience, going in, the fans, the changing rooms. Yeah, they're nicer, they're bigger than what we got here. But no, it's nice. It's just the experience, you know, the fans being there is the best thing for us.
Just heard there from Jay Sadler and Nicole Barrett after yesterday's emphatic victory over Ipswich Town at Wesley Park. A 4-2 win for the Pompey women. They really strengthened their position at the top of the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. Now only 5 matches remaining for Jay Sadler's side, and standing between them and the Championship. They next take on Rugby Borough on Sunday the 24th of March. That game is being played at Fratton Park, and you can buy your tickets for that one online now, so one to look forward to there at PO4. The Pompey women having their game at Fratton Park against Rugby Borough in just under a fortnight's time. Right, it is now time for a very quick break, and when we do come back, we're going to preview tomorrow's visit at Burton Albion to Fratton Park. We'll read out some more text, tweets and emails, and also hear from club ambassador for her game too, Vicky Lamb.
As we know, Fratton Park is such a special place. The fans, the atmosphere, it's something else. You can't compare, so let's celebrate our female fans, not forgetting the male fans that support the females within the game, and hopefully on Tuesday night we'll come away with 3 points from Burton.
Don't go anywhere, we'll be back in just a moment.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, or just enjoying late night bus rides, from 7 p.m. every day you can take advantage of a Night Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Night Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South for just £2.50. The world is your oyster. Visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yeah, welcome back for one final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM, local radio for the great waterfront city of Portsmouth. Burton Albion, the visitors to Fratton Park tomorrow evening. Floodlit football under the PO4 floodlights for the second to last time this season. And this match is the club's dedicated her game to fixture, after Barney's just squeaked his chair really, really loudly. Friday, of course, was International Women's Day, and a lot of the matches over the course of a weekend were dedicated to her game too. So this, of course, being Pompey's first home match since then. I've been speaking to club ambassador Vicky Lamb about how she first got into football.
So for me, I must have been about 6 or 7 years old, and we had this corner on the street that most of the kids would play out on, and some of the older boys started playing football there, and somehow I just got involved and started playing with them. The boys then started to go up to one of the local schools around the corner, and Pompey and the community sort of held these sessions, and they'd come back off that and show off there what they'd learn. And my mum sort of saw I was getting a bit left out at that stage, so she sort of rushed out and got me a Pompey kit. And remember that sort of 2000-2001 stage where we had that blue Bishop printing kit, like a very iconic kit. I just absolutely loved it, and from there I would join in with them, and my mum took me up to the sessions and learned everything from them, and that sort of led me to sort of fall in love with it even more. From there, my mum took me up to Fratton Park, and I was just absolutely hooked. And fortunate enough, a couple of seasons later, we got promoted to the Prem, and the rest is history.
So what is it that Her Game 2 does, and what kind of impact has it had on not only yourself, but other girls and women that you've encountered within the game?
So Her Game 2, it's an award-winning non-profit campaign which tackles sexism in sport, and any money that's raised also goes back into grassroots clubs. The campaign has a fantastic team of volunteers, including myself, which makes it a success. And this weekend we partnered with Kick It Out, the football's leading anti-discrimination organisation, to strengthen our fight in equality. As of today, we're currently partnered with 74 out of the 92, with Brighton being the latest, which was announced at the weekend. And by having these clubs partnered, we can work together to make each club inclusive and a safe space for people to enjoy sports. Not just at Pompey, but we've seen such a rise in women's fans purchasing more tickets and attending live events.
Mm-hmm. And why is the Burton Albion game being held at Fratton Park dedicated to her game too so important?
So most people know Friday was International Women's Day, and it just seems a perfect way to celebrate the occasion by having a dedicated fixture. The campaign itself has been very lucky, and we've had over 50 dedicated fixtures so far this season. And on Saturday, as we know, we were away to Blackpool, and it just didn't feel right to have Portsmouth's dedicated game away from Fratton Park. And as we know, Fratton Park is such a special place. The fans, the atmosphere, it's something else. You can't compare. So let's celebrate our female fans, not forgetting the male fans that support the females within the game. And hopefully on Tuesday night, we'll come away with 3 points from Burton.
Vicky Land there, the Her Game 2 ambassador for Pompey, speaking with me earlier today about tomorrow's dedicated fixture and why Her Game 2 is such an important campaign. You can see, of course, all of the notes in the programme tomorrow. And that game against Burton Albion is being dedicated to Her Game 2, the fantastic work they do for women in football and in sports overall. Right, let's move on to the opposition then and start to preview tomorrow's match against the Brewers. Of course, a stalemate for Pompey at the weekend, but the Blues have little time to dwell because we've got a floodlit fixture at Fratton Park to look forward to this week. Kirsty Roxanne has been taking a closer look into Burton Albion.
A goalless draw at Bloomfield Road on Saturday means John Massino's side now have a 5-point gap at the top of League One.
This week's opposition.
This now means the Blues have not conceded a goal away from home since Oxford back in January. Heading back down south to Fratton Park, we take on the bottom half of the table side, Burton Albion, under the floodlights. Let's take a closer look at them now.
Manager.
Former professional footballer Martin Patterson is at the helm. Beginning his career with Stoke City, the forward also played for the likes of Scunthorpe United, Burnley, Huddersfield Town, Orlando City, Blackpool, Port Vale, Tampa Bay Rowdies and ATK, with loan spells at Grimsby, Bristol City, Fleetwood Town and Orlando City. Throughout his 14-year professional career, Patterson scored 78 goals in 339 league and cup appearances. He also won 32 caps for Northern Ireland in his 7-year international career from 2007 to 2014, scoring 3 international goals. Patterson was an assistant coach for 7 months in America for several different clubs. When he returned to England, he worked alongside Michael Duff as an assistant at Barnsley. He joined Duff at Swansea City in June 2023, working as an assistant head coach alongside Alan Sheehan. On 11th of January 2024, Patterson was appointed head coach of Burton Albion.
One to watch.
A one to watch on this occasion is Crystal Palace loanee Ademola Ola Adebomi. Ola Adebomi joined Crystal Palace as a youngster and progressed through the academy before signing his first professional contract with the club in April 2022. He played for the club in the EFL Trophy that season and scored 12 goals in 21 games for the Crystal Palace under-21 side. The 20-year-old joined Burton on a six-month loan deal in the January transfer window, making his debut against Cambridge United. Ola Adebomi wears the number 20 shirt.
Top scorer.
Number 7, Joe Powell, is the current top goal scorer for the Brewers. Joining West Ham United at the age of 8, he signed his first professional contract with the club in January 2015 and signed a renewed 3-year deal in May 2016. Powell joined Northampton Town on loan before signing for Burton in January 2020 on a 2.5-year deal. The midfielder agreed to a new 2-year contract in July 2022. The 2020-21 season saw Powell win the Goal of the Season award with a 35-yard shot against Portsmouth. Powell has scored 4 goals so far this campaign.
Current form.
Patterson's side currently sit 20th in the table, just above the relegation zone with a 5-point cushion above Cheltenham in 21st. Burton have accumulated 39 points from 36 games, with their last 5 games ending in 1 victory, 1 draw and 3 defeats. Their most recent defeat was a 3-1 against promotion chasing rivals Peterborough. In the reverse of this fixture at the Pirelli Stadium, the Blues came out on top with a 2-0 win with goals from Bishop and Robertson. The game ended with a 10-man Burton side after Steve Seddon saw a yellow card in the 90th minute for his foul on Kamara, having already been carded when conceding the penalty. Can the Blues secure 3 points under the floodlights and accumulate 80 points by mid-March? All of the Missable Action on Pompey Live.
Big thank you to Kirsty Roxanne taking a closer look into Burton Albion, their header tomorrow night's game at Fratton Park. Just a bit of news actually just seen on social media broken in the last 10 minutes from Blackpool is that Jordan Rhodes has had his red card against Pompey from Saturday rescinded. So the three-game suspension for Jordan Rhodes will no longer be applicable. Jordan Rhodes has had his red card rescinded, which is probably fair. I think even John Mousinho said in his post-match interview that that was probably a harsh red card. But moving on to Burton Albion tomorrow night. And Barney, quite a few options for Pompey or John Mousinho to try and take a look into. First of all, Callum Lang. He's highlighted him as 50-50 for tomorrow night's game. From a fan's perspective, would you rather maybe rest him if he is 50-50 and look ahead to the Peterborough game, knowing that you've got the likes of Lane, Kamara, Piet Harris in there as options?
Yeah, I think if he is a slight injury risk, then yeah, I'd rather rest him. I think Sadie's had a fantastic couple of substitute appearances. Maybe give him the honour.
Yeah.
There was that couple of runner games away, wasn't there, when we played Burton last time, Burton and Northampton. He was fantastic with Yenge up top against Northampton. Why not change it around again? Just, you know, give Bishop a rest, save him for Saturday, and play Yenge and Sadie together.
Yeah. And something that actually might be a good option there, Joe, as Barney's alluded to, is Yenge maybe starting tomorrow night's game. It not only gives Bishop that bit of a rest, but you want to bounce back from a draw on Saturday under the floodlights at Fratton Park. You need that sort of atmosphere to get going from minute one, really. And somebody with Cassini Yenge's, you know, pace and attributes that he brings to the game from minute one could actually be something that benefits Pompey, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually think that the most important selection isn't going to be surrounding who's in the midfield necessarily, but whether Bishop or Yenge play. I get the feeling that Burton are going to show up and play very deep. Almost the blueprint for how to frustrate Portsmouth was shown to them on Saturday by Blackpool. And realistically, when Pompey have struggled, it's when teams that have just gone, right, we're not coming up any further up than the halfway line, now get through us. And I think that just having that different look of Yenge and someone off him, like a Sadie, would definitely be something different for Burton to think about.
And speaking of Christian Sadie, he's been somebody who's been speaking to George Wedlake at the Blues training ground earlier today.
Firstly, then, 9 games to go. How would you sum up the season so far?
Very good season, in my opinion. I think from day one, we've just been so tight together, and I feel like it shows on the pitch where we pick each other up. If some players are not in the squad or some players are missing out, we always help us through it in training. I feel like, yeah, we're just a really good group and it's showing out on the pitch.
And it's your first season as a Blue. Has it gone as expected?
I would say more goals, but yeah, so far, yes. I feel like it's been I've been happy with the way it's gone. Obviously, still want to contribute and score more goals.
Are you happy with the amount of playing time you've been getting?
Yeah. Well, I think for me, coming from 21s football, I never really expected to play every single minute, and it comes with football. You have to learn and you have to get better at it, and I'm still 21, so yeah, I think I've got loads of years to play football.
Obviously, a lot of attacking options at the manager's disposal currently going forward. Where do you kind of see yourself fitting in with that at the moment?
Well, for the majority of the season, I've been playing as a 10, so yeah, I feel like anywhere the gaffer wants to put me, I think I'll take it, and I'll try my best to help the team.
And do you have a preferred position up top?
Not necessarily. I think I've probably drifted more towards the 10 this season because I've played there more, and obviously I've got Yenge and Cass in front of me who are brilliant players, so even if I'm not playing as a 9, I could still learn off them. So yeah.
Let's go back to the Oxford game just over a week ago. You scored your first league goal for the club. Can you describe that moment?
Yeah, it's like weight lifted off my shoulders. I've been waiting a long time for that goal, and obviously went through a tough period of not being in a squad or not playing. So for the gaffer to put his trust in me and the staff to put their trust in me to put me out on the pitch, and I could just repay them with a goal was really good.
So it's a bit of a tough run-in now with these final 9 games. How do you kind of see those going at this moment in time?
I think we just got to do what we can to win and hopefully just keep ticking them off. And if we stick together as we've been doing throughout the season, I think we stand a good chance.
And Berta, a team you know relatively well, having spent a bit of time there. What are your expectations for that game in particular?
It's going to be a hard game, difficult game. I think Berta are good at what they do, and hopefully we can just keep doing what we do and just keep ticking off the wins. So, yeah.
And what's it going to take to get over the line, in your opinion?
A good team performance, I think. Goals. And, yeah, so, yeah, just a good team performance, I think.
Christian Sadie speaking to George Wedlake after, or prior to tomorrow's game, rather, against Burton Albion at the training ground earlier today. You can hear from Christian Sadie again and the pre-match thoughts of John Messina when Pompey Live returns tomorrow evening from 7 o'clock at Fratton Park. Jordan Draper on X saying, personally, I would risk laying in the eye for Peterborough and then play either Marspin Harris or Sadie in behind the striker for tomorrow night's game against Burton Albion. Marcus Deacon saying, very happy with the point on Saturday. I think most of us would have taken that before kickoff. You should always be looking to get a result against 10 men for almost an hour, but draws away and wins at home will almost certainly see us promoted. I've seen the replays, actually agree with a red card, which has since been rescinded. Their lad clearly looks at where Rafferty is and went in with his arm raised. Need to back Saturday's draw with a win tomorrow. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Pompey win, says Marcus on the emails. Joe on X is going for a 2-1 win for Pompey tomorrow evening, and Rachel on Facebook is going for a 3-0 win. But what do our two guests tonight think about tomorrow's game? The score prediction, please, Joe Wood.
Like I said, I think Burton are going to sit deep and frustrate, and I think it'll be 1-0 Pompey.
1-0, says Joe. Joe, an absolute pleasure to have you on the Football Hour this evening. Thank you very much. Take care and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Jake.
And see you later on, Joe. And to Barney as well, score prediction, please, if you wouldn't mind.
I think I agree as well. I think it'll be tight. They've gone 5 at the back when they've played away at bigger teams, so I can see it being 2-1 Pompey.
2-1 Pompey, says Barney. I'm going to go for a 3-1 Pompey win, but I can understand why a lot are maybe reserved and think it's going to be a much tighter affair than that. Barney, thank you very much for your contributions tonight.
Pleasure as always, mate.
Right, that is it from us this evening. The next fix off the Football Hour will come this Friday. I'll be joined alongside Sam Macy and Hugh Bunce to review tomorrow's game against Burton Albion and to preview the big trip to Peterborough on Saturday, where Pompey will be backed by just under 4,000 fans at London Road. But first of all, they've got to get through the Brewers of Burton Albion. Pompey Live returns for that one tomorrow evening from 7 o'clock.
Here we go.
Pompey Live.
It was a mixed bag of results at the weekend for Portsmouth.
And Portsmouth have been held to a 0-0 draw here by Blackpool at Bloomfield Road.
Quirk nodding down, Freeland tucking in for her second, Portsmouth's fourth.
Next up, the men are back in action at Fratton Park, taking on Burton Albion. Join us for all of the unmissable action tomorrow from 7.
Every kick, every goal, every game is right here on Express FM, Pompey Live.
With Aquacars.
Yep, absolutely. Join myself, Jake Smith, alongside Robbie James and James Wilson for all of the pre-match, half-time and post-match analysis as Pompey take on Burton Albion at Fratton Park. That is one of 10 fixtures taking place this Tuesday evening. Carlisle United host Barnsley, Derby host Reading. Bristol Rovers go to Fleetwood Town. It's Leyton Orient versus Port Vale. Lincoln City are home to Cambridge United. It's Northampton versus Blackpool. Shrewsbury versus Exeter City. Wickham Wanderers hosting Wigan Athletic. And Bolton are at home to Oxford United. That game live on Sky Sports, an 8 o'clock kickoff at the Tough Sheet Community Stadium. And on Wednesday night, also on Sky, an 8 o'clock kickoff at London Road between Peterborough United and Stevenage. Big game in the race for both the automatics and the playoff positions. Right, Over the White Line, we'll be back on Wednesday evening from 6 to go through all your non-league news with Henry Deacon. But coming up next here on Express FM, Jeff Dorsett welcomes you back with the latest edition of the Soft Rock Show. Until next time, Blues fans, take care and good night.